What's up, everybody? My name is Chris Phillips, and thank you for returning to listen to Boom Chuck, a drummer's podcast. After some time away, I've decided to get this thing back rolling again, so I'm going to have special guests coming in. I'm excited for this episode because it's a guy that I wanted to get on here for a long time, and luckily the stars aligned one day, and we were able to schedule something and get it on the books to talk. If you've listened to any other podcast that he has been on, you knew that at some point our paths were going to cross. Without further ado, I'm going to drop you into the conversation that I was having with Tim Baltus, aka Timbo from Keno. It's good to finally see you. I don't even remember how it happened. I did the podcast over COVID, and then I just kind of was like, that was fun, you know. My band got busy, did all this stuff, and then I think I randomly checked Facebook and you were like listed as, you may know this person, and I was like, yeah, I know that person, not personally, but yeah, I'll take it. And then you said, hey man, so I did a podcast, blah blah blah, and it was like, well dang it, now I gotta do a season two. All right, here we go. So you're gonna kick it off. I'm like that's it. You're my crest, you're my mountaintop, you know. So
well, that's very kind, but yeah, it's a good, I'm glad I'm a good reason to get you doing the pod again, because I think, you know, it's important, you know, the more than any other group of musicians, drummers are a community.
Yeah.
And you know, it's evidenced in the previous conversations you had with your homies, and it's evidenced in even the comment section on my stupid videos. So thank you for doing this.
Well, let's get right into it. I know, so you've been on so many podcasts, and to go and listen to them, I would need, like, basically it's like full-time job hours, you know what I mean? So,
oh yeah.
I stopped counting, but it was like, I mean, it's almost 30, right? 30 different podcasts of just drum specific or art specific. I know you just did a local one. I know that you, like, you kind of just alluded to it, you see that as a great form of communication, a great tool for learning, a great tool just to get everything out there. What brought all that on? Like, why is it so important to you to have, like, kind of the podcast thing kind of carry this weight?
I think for me, it's something that, you know, I didn't have this sort of resource when I was a kid. So, you know, for me to get access to information, I'd either have to get it off the television, I'd have to get it from my music teachers, my piano teacher, my bass or guitar teacher. You know, I'm 32, so I grew up without the internet, and then the internet grew up with me. So,
right.
So, you know, that's really the big important part about this is that. So, I guess why I give so much weight to podcasts is, you know, as a kid, I was so, you know, I started going to concerts when I was 10, 11 years old. And I was able to be a fly on the wall of the conversations of the older kids and the young adults who were musicians doing their thing. And for us to have a way to do that now for younger kids, people our age, and generations to come, I think, dude, it's just important, you know, to get perspective.
Yeah.
And to, again, just to have that, dissemination of information. You know, there's no gatekeeping, no BS. It's just everybody right. should have access to this, so everyone has a chance to be their best at, regardless of what their goal is.
Is there a favorite podcast that you've been on? Have you, besides this one, of course, but have you been like ooh, I want to do that one, that's going to be fun, and, you know, just kind of an overall, like, goal in mind that you wanted to be on one?
This is the best podcast ever, so let's just lay down the law immediately. But, you know, I will say one of the most wild podcast-esque things I did is a radio station in Connecticut hit me up and wanted me to be on their morning show. So I've played drums live on the radio at one point, so that's something.
That's weird. Interesting. Yeah. Cool. Well, okay, so there's people that listen to my podcast just because they either know me, they don't know anything about drums. So obviously the drummer community, like you said, everybody knows who you are, right? Like, you're kind of like, you're the shining bright star. I see, I love pumping you up. There's a shining bright star in the drum community. But then there's people like my mom who listen to this, who have no idea who you are. And again, you could go back and listen to the podcasts to get your story and do all that. I don't want to ask you the same questions like everybody else asks you. I guess there's no time frame on this, but take the next however many moments you need. How did your life not start? We all know how that started, right? But how did, when you came to be, I guess when you decided that you wanted to do music, right? Or if it was early, I know it was like shows and stuff for you, to like yesterday or right now, like what was the kind of the overall arc? And again, don't worry about a time frame. I don't care. Like if I don't like it, I'll edit it out. But you know, give the overview for the listener who has no idea or hasn't heard you on a podcast before.
Yeah, you know, I think what's really, I don't mean to toot my horn here, but I think what's interesting is that I haven't taken the path that a lot of my peers have taken. A lot of folks my age got out of high school and started touring full time. A lot of other folks, as we got older, making music, quit playing in bands to just do social media or used social media as a way to get into touring bands. And so my story's a little different in that I also do a 9-to-5. And I think that's why a lot of people connect with my content emotionally, because yeah. I'm a regular dude who plays drums in his mom's basement. And that's what I do when I'm not working, because that's the thing that I love to do. So,
yeah,
you know, I started playing piano at 8, bass at 12, guitar at 13, finally started drums at 15, and drums was the thing that stuck. Mm-hmm. So, from there I played in bands. I started playing out when I was 12 in bands, and I played out in bands till I was 26. And I got sick then. I got mono at 26, but for like 6 months, so it really knocked me out.
Yeah.
I think, you know, what that did was it was actually a catalyst to create even more success in my life in the music world, because mm-hmm. I couldn't play live. You know, so I quit playing in bands at 26 and had to figure out a way just to keep music in my life, because it was the thing that I had loved for so long. And I started putting out videos on Instagram. And that took off, and it turned into remote studio work. So producers, artists would call me up and they'd say, hey, you know, can you record some songs for my band, the drums for it? And I would do that and then send the files back. And that was super fun. And then because, you know, during the day I was doing a marketing job, then it turned into helping my friends with, you know, hey, what would you do to market my drum shop? What would you do to market this drum product? And so that's been a really interesting turn in my career. I don't know if we're going to discuss it or not, but one of the most recent jobs I had was I was working for Roland, which is the company that makes a lot of the electronic or digital drum sets that folks might know. They also own a company called Boss, which makes a lot of guitar pedals, guitar amps, and that sort of thing. And they're one of the largest musical instrument manufacturers in the world. That was a terrible experience. And after leaving that job, I got the job that I actually wanted before I even talked to Roland. So now, I am about 2 months into a job with the state. I'm in a marketing department for, the oldest technical college system in America.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's a great job. It's a government job, which means the pay isn't great. It's not corporate pay. The benefit is that I get a pension still in 2022, and not a lot of folks can say that they have that. And the other benefit is that it is hybrid. I think hybrid works the best for me because I get a few days out of the house a week. I don't feel like I'm always in the basement. And then it's nice to be at home. You know, you do get to be comfortable and, you know, wear sweats once in a while. So it's a perfect mix. And what this new job also allows me to do is continue building on this whole thing that I had been previously discussing, which is, you know, this conglomerate of I'm a drummer, and I'm a long time drum gear nerd. So anything and everything, drums, cymbals, hardware, I love all of that stuff so much. And then I'm also a marketing guy. So, you know, Now today, what I do is I'm still making silly videos on Instagram because not only does it bring me joy, but it brings joy to so many people. Like, you know, most recent, and you never know who's watching. Have couples and whole families. I was just on the phone with someone the other night who said that what he loves about my channel is that he can without worrying about cuss words or anything, whatever, you know, inappropriate, he can show his 5-year-old daughter any of my videos, and she always lights up with laughter, you know, without a doubt, every time. And I love being able to give that to people. So I'm doing that on the internet, but it's also attracting people like one of the world's best pitchers of all time, Randy Johnson, just started following me the other day.
No way.
So, yeah. So
he killed
it's just
a bird.
Like,
literally, that's the guy that literally threw a ball and hit a bird, like a 1 in a million. Like, that's crazy.
That's the dude. That's the dude. So yeah. It's just like you don't know who's watching, and that's really cool. You know, and then to, you know, the professional side as a player, I still at 32 years old don't have any formal endorsement deals, but because of, just recent, goings on in the drum community and because of the platform I have on Instagram, I'm probably inking my first endorsement deal in a few weeks. So that's what's really cool about that part of my life. And then the other part, again, getting back to this drum nerd stuff, is the big thing I'm working on is I work with a company called Honest Abe Instrument Company. And it's a builder down in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and we're doing all metal drums. Oh. So I started working with him back in about December of last year, and I tell him, hey, what if we do that? I'll give him every, you know, specification for a drum, and he says okay, and he figures out how to build it, and then he builds it, and then he sends it to me, and then it sounds really good, and then we sell it, and that's how it goes. So it's like, it's
wow,
perfect,
cool. Yeah,
super fun. You know, it's all these ideas I've had in my head for so long, and I've worked with other drum companies on these types of things before, but to really have free reign over whatever the heck I can dream up, and you know, and what we can dream up as a team, this guy Paul and I, it's man, is that just so fun. So, you know, that's what lights me up. You know, I got a 9-to-5, pays the bills, and what I love about that job is it's not kicking my butt physically, and it's a lot of good people, no drama. You know, it's like it's everything you could ask for from a job. So then I have the, you know, the physical, the emotional, and the mental energy to go home and to just work on the things I love. So, that's where I'm at now.
You posted recently a video. It was like, I'm looking at it right now. Are you playing one of the kits that you designed in one of the recent videos that you posted?
Yeah, so those matte black drums are...
Yeah.
Are you looking at the lime and the coconut video?
Yes, I am. Yeah.
So that is the kit is a steel. It's about, I think it's 2 millimeter steel. Yeah. 20 inch bass drum, 10, 12 toms, 14 and 16 floor toms. And yes, they are heavier than wood. And then the snare drum, which he also made, was I think he did two in the batch, 14x8 stainless.
I'm looking at that. That looks amazing. Yeah.
They're insane. And you should see some of the other stuff we've come up with. We've rolled quarter inch, which is 6.35 millimeter steel into drums. So we have a 14x7 snare that weighs 25 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're getting into like Lars Ulrich, like original Lars Ulrich snare that was like that steel, and you hit it and it just kind of sounded like a duck was being hit with a drumstick kind of thing. Like, you're getting into that world a little bit. Yours sounded way better than that one, but yeah, you're getting into that a little bit.
It's like if you had a St. Anger snare that actually sounded good. That's exactly it.
I get in that debate constantly with my bandmate. He's like, dude, that album kicks, man. It's awesome. The riffs are cool. And I'm like, but listen to the snare drum. Like, that album would be amazing. And I've actually heard, I think somebody actually went in and sampled like a decent sounding snare over it. It's a totally different album. It's especially for drummers. It's a totally different album. So if anyone's curious about that, I mean, everyone has kind of, obviously that was like three albums ago. I don't even remember, but yeah, they've kind of moved on. But yeah, for those of you that, again, that don't know, like my mom, hi mom, look up Timbo from Kino. That is your Instagram. That's where you're posting most of your stuff. Instagram, now TikTok, you're getting involved with that. That's where you can see all your videos. I mean, the recent ones I'm looking at right now, obviously you have the coconut one. You've done a lot of stuff with a new North kit that you got. That, I don't know how you got that. You got to tell me that story about how you were able to get a full North kit that looks exactly like that. That's crazy. So there's a lot of different things, and we'll go through a little bit more a little bit later. But yeah, why don't you tell me, how did you come out? I know, you know, with old podcasts and stuff and following you for such a long time, you worked at Music Around Forever, which developed this love for basically drum collecting and vintage drums and all this stuff. How did you come to find that kit?
That literally Music Around. So Music Around has really? These drums. Yeah.
It's awesome.
And I was up there, they have a store in Milwaukee, and I went up there, and my buddy who now basically runs the joint, he said, you know, if you want to borrow them for a few days, you know, feel free to. And so I grabbed them, and then I got home, and my buddy texts me, and he says, hey, the owner, he said, just keep them for a while, because we don't even have the room to keep these giant drums anywhere.
Oh, so, you're lucky. Dang.
So that was super fun. I kept them for, I think, about three and a half weeks, and I just, yeah. I cut a bunch of covers on them, and, you know, those drums are so expensive now. They have a good price on them. I think they have $2,200 for what you get, four toms with a rack, a floor tom, and a kick drum. But like, dude, those kits, same exact shell configuration, are selling for up to $4,000 now, which it's nuts. Incredible. I moan about this all the time, about just how prices are crazy. But I'll tell you, I'm so glad that I was able to buy my gear when I did, because I couldn't afford it now.
Oh, dude, yeah, totally. Sometimes I look at like gear that I've had that I've sold, and I'm like, oh, if I'd have just waited like 2 years, I'd have made twice the money. But yeah, sometimes I kick myself when I look at old stuff. Then I'm just like, oh, but you know what? Like, I've talked to a lot of people about this, where like the technology in our world, in the drum world, is going so fast. Like, I mean, anything and everything is moving at such a rapid rate that you're like, oh, like the newest thing that comes out is so far beyond what you're used to. I mean, the kick drum pedals and stuff now that everyone's doing, it's like, this is ridiculous. Now, granted, you're paying for that technology, but I mean, no, you can get a little bit of a different sound, a little bit different feel than like, you know, the old Speed King, which I was never a fan of. I have a heavy foot, so I was never a fan of the Speed King. I just shredded them, you know? So seeing like old vintage videos and stuff that you post, or vintage drums on the videos that you posted, it's amazing, because it's a modern sort of technique with you posting on Instagram and doing this stuff with vintage gear and then getting the sounds you want, which it's cool. It kind of inspires, hopefully, other people to look at the past and look at like vintage Gretsch, North, like these random companies that like you can't get this stuff, but it makes them extra special. Which,
yeah, 100%.
Let's go back a little bit. You did mention, and I circled it when you mentioned the Roland job, because that's when we started talking about doing this. You said it was just hard. What? And this is for a lot of people that will listen to this that do have the 9-to-5, that are freaking stressed out all day, take work home with them, and either number one, can't play the thing they love, which is drums, or they're using it just to let out aggression and not actually kind of using it as like a craft or a hobby or something that, like, you know, they're not honing their skills. They're just freaking going in and bashing. So when you had that job, and you were pretty public on your platform of like, yeah, it wasn't fun. But you were stoked when you got it. So it's kind of like, if you can share, like, what happened? Why wasn't it fun? Why did it not fit? Cause I feel like with you, I feel with your background and everything that you've accomplished so far outside of the drumming world, I don't know. I thought it would be a good fit.
I thought it was going to be a good fit too.
Yeah.
But, you know, so here's what happened is, I've been freelancing far before I ever quit my first corporate job, and then I tried to ramp that up afterwards. And, you know, through 2021, I was at a point where I was like, I wanted to find a dedicated team again. And I interviewed with every drum and drum related company you can imagine. Some of those interviews took 2 months, those processes, and some of those took up to one process went all the way to 3.5 months. And, you know, tons of hours and time and effort invested, only to get a no in the end. So, you know, it was a really tough year, and for Roland to reach out a week before Christmas, end of 2021, and they had a outside recruiter who said, "Hey, I looked for all these terms trying to find a copywriter for Roland, and you're the only person who popped up on LinkedIn." So that felt really good. And I went through all the whole interview process, and that went really well. But what I will say is that I think what I was presented with at the beginning of starting that job was not what I found when the rubber hit the road. You know, and that's a real bummer. And I think, you know, teams affect this. Not everyone on the team. There are some really great people I met at Roland. But corporate culture is also part of this. And that's what I would tell people to be very, very aware of when you step into any job, whether you're going to sell, electronic drums or, fidget spinners. So, I'll tell you this. I would rather sell fidget spinners if I have a bunch of, killing coworkers, like a really cool, supportive boss, and whatever actual work I was doing, whether I was the janitor, the copywriter, or the, exec, whatever level you're at, as long as I can leave there and have the time to and the energy to do whatever I want at home, awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not only did I feel like the work at Roland did it, drain a lot of that physical, mental, emotional energy, because of the culture and the nature of what I went through there. But another bummer was like, dude, they told me that I had to cease any of the outside work I was doing with other drum companies, which I thought was a little peculiar, because they're an electronic drum company, and everyone I work with is acoustic. I don't do electronic drums, in my personal life, or in my consulting, and as an extension of that personal life. But, I think for me now, it was really funny when I was finishing up interviews with this technical college system. Because what happened was, is I had the first round of interviews. They went great. It was on a Wednesday. Thursday, the HR gal calls me back and she says, "Hey, can we get back on the phone with the crew tomorrow on Friday?" I said, "Sure, no problem." So I hop on the phone Friday, and they just like sat me down and said, "Now listen, Tim, this job might not be the most creative job at all times. And you're a very creative person. So... we need to know, do you have creative outlets at home that you're going to, continue doing?" And I was like, "Well, I make these videos, but I also design drums and I do all this marketing. I have these sort of, the way I described it is, normal folks, if you say the word side hustle, they get it." So I, right. I threw that little buzzword out there, because that would be easier to understand than saying, "Well, I design quarter inch thick steel drum shells with such a particular bearing edge." And so I said, I do this side hustle stuff. And they said, immediately, they were just like, "Good, just keep doing that."
Wow. Yeah.
So to have that complete 180 in, the attitude around what I do outside of work is paramount to my personal fulfillment.
Sure.
And I'm sure that has been reflected in my relationships in the real world, and even on what presence I have online, you know.
Sure. I'm being a follower and a fan, like, you definitely, I remember you getting the job, and then, I mean, the videos almost just stopped, you know what I mean? Like, they obviously, the algorithm puts videos up there that you've posted or whatever, but it's like no new content was happening, and it was
2 months,
like,
dude, stopped for 2 whole months,
and that's a lot. I mean, granted, you had a lot of followers, and every now and then it was like things would pop up that was old or whatever, but it was like it was almost weird. It sounds strange that they would just say, no, we don't want your input on something that you're successful at. That doesn't make any sense.
Well, I mean, I wasn't doing product development, so it wasn't necessarily that they didn't want my input on that stuff, which didn't matter anyways, because they wasn't there. But it's just that they wouldn't let me continue giving my input to these other organizations, even though they're completely, there's no crossover between role and product in any of these other segments that I'm working on, you know?
Right. Maybe they want to make steel drums.
It's just silly.
I mean,
Well, they're going to get a C&D pretty quick. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Hilarious. Well, I mean, it sucks that it didn't work out, because it sounded like it could have been a cool job. But, like, for us on the other side of it, I think I even put, like, welcome back. Like, when we were talking, it was just like, I'd rather have you doing this. Grant, obviously, we all need work and we all need jobs. But it's like, as that creative outlet, as you know, basically a person who I use the word influencer, but I don't mean it, because I think of like Kim Kardashian or something. You are not Kim Kardashian, but like in the drumming community, it's kind of like we seek you as the quote unquote comic relief, but also we understand that is one small part of it, right? It's not only the comic relief. Like, you're posting full videos and doing all these other things showing that's like, this is hard work. Like, I've put in this time and done all this. So it's like, as the drummer community sees it, it's kind of like, oh, this is great. And like the video we talked about earlier, like you were playing and it sounded great and you had the groove, and then you just started screaming to coconuts, and it was just like, yeah, that's exactly what I needed, you know what I mean? So it's good to have you back. It's good to do this. I appreciate it, dude.
Thank you.
Yeah, man. And then you had mentioned like you didn't have any formal training and stuff, obviously. To get all these jobs and use giant words like copywriter, for those of us that have music degrees, this guy. But so obviously schooling, what schooling did you get, and what was your degree in that lent you into kind of leaning into that corporate world?
I mean, dude, but when I started going to college, this would have been 2008, I wanted to be a high school level English teacher.
Yeah.
You know, and unfortunately in Wisconsin, we had a governor who basically gutted the unions. So, you know, teachers worked, you know, really, really much longer hours, got much less pay, and it didn't seem worth going into that. But writing was the only thing I was decent at besides drums.
Sure.
So, you know, I figured, you know, well, there's got to be something I can do in the professional world with English. And a professor, John Spartz, he took me under his wing, and he basically gave me all the skills I could ever need to be a copywriter or a technical writer, technical editor, which means that's the person who makes instructions usable. So, yeah, you know, got my bachelor's in English, immediately got a job in copywriting, and, you know, some of these other skills, then the adjacent skills just really came through, whether it was my experience through college working at Music Around full time, or, you know, building my own personal brand through this Timbo from Kino thing. So that's been a really powerful tool just for gaining all these adjacent skills, which is why I generally recommend to every drummer, whether you're a musician with a band or an educator or whatever, just to really start to understand all these different elements of social media, because it can lead to a job in and of itself. That's an education, learning how the heck to do all this freaking crap, you know, right then and there. So,
and it constantly changes. As soon as, like, oh, I've mastered Instagram, TikTok comes in and swallows it. You know, like, there's another one. I have a high school daughter, and she's like, Dad, can I get? I'm like, no. I'm keeping her as far away from social media as I can for the long. She can look at mine, but it's like, it's even moved beyond TikTok with the younger kids. And I'm sitting there like, oh my gosh, I am an old man. I don't even know what words you're saying right now. But yeah, it's going to constantly
it's
flow.
Tough.
Always something.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, the thing I like to say this about social media is I'll say this as a musician doing social media, really as any creative, you have to figure out where the people are that you want to reach. I put my effort into Instagram because that's the place I tend to connect with, basically drumming legends. You know, I've come to be acquainted with, Kurt Biscara because of this, supposed to hang out with, Kevin Murphy, who's a big Nashville guy tomorrow. It's how I got my seat on the Percussive Arts Society's drum set committee. You know, because of people I met through Instagram. TikTok is a really good platform for things like politics, cooking, social issues.
Who cares about all that? Yeah.
You know, in the music world, you know, we see this trend happening on Instagram now where you have to almost give more weight to entertainment than education or, you know, talent almost. And that weight given to the entertainment portion of a piece of content is even more heavily weighted on TikTok, which is why I still struggle to find the value in putting a lot of time into TikTok at all as a content creator.
Because again, we're used to getting longer, and I know you can do longer stuff on TikTok right now, but it's like, when that came out, it was like 20 seconds, and it was just about the scroll and about like it, scroll, like it. You know what I mean? It always reminds me, and I make my kids watch it as much as they can. Remember that movie WALL-E? The Disney movie WALL-E?
Yeah.
Dude, like the human race, like when he went up to the spaceship or whatever, like that. And it's because it's the old man in me talking, and it's just like, I say, kids, that's what we're turning into. Like, I mean, we're hundreds of years beyond that, but look. They're doing that, like, and I'm like, I'm a sucker for it. I'm like, I mean, TikTok is one thing, but I'll catch myself like, I've been here for like 5 minutes and I've literally haven't done anything. I'm just sitting there doing this, and it's a mind suck. And it's like, I could have done, I could have fed my family, or, you know, I've just sat there and scrolled TikTok. So it's a different way of thinking, and I hope it doesn't ruin our whole. I'm not getting political, but I just hope it doesn't ruin our whole human race. But something else will come along and eat it up.
I think here's the thing, and this is, I was just talking to my partner about this the other night. You know, they're an art therapist, and I do some drum education, but I'm also a marketer. So, you know, we kind of have these things in our professional lives that kind of intertwine. And one of them is just how do we create a better life for people, you know, that we're working with or that we're working for? And my answer to that is that we should treat social media as the beginning of something, not the end of something. And what I mean by that is, this is kind of, I always talk about this idea with friends and clients is, if you want to really take advantage of social media, whether it's for creating new friendships, professional relationships, whatever it is, relationships, period. There's the commonality is that you have to go from sharing likes with someone to sharing comments back and forth. Take that conversation to DM, take that DM into texts, turn those texts into phone calls, and turn those phone calls into real life hangs. And now you're talking, you've turned that social media thing into a real relationship with a real human. And now you're able to really connect with someone and you know, get something out of this experience together. You get past that facade of, you know, the web. And that's what I always recommend to people is just keep that in mind. It's always the beginning of something, and it should never be the end.
I don't know why it made me think of it, but like having that, like kind of that stream of what you just said, where it was like, you slide into someone's DMs and then you talk and then you do all the, like, that's kind of how it's a way of meeting. It's like, we're not going to date each other, but we're meeting via, because of Facebook and Instagram and all these things. It reminded me of watching the Manti Te'o documentary on Netflix. I don't know if you saw it, and I don't know if you remember who Manti Te'o was. So he was a Notre Dame football player, super stud. And he literally got catfished before catfishing was an actual, like, term. You know what I mean? Like, it was kind of loose or whatever. And it was all done through, I mean, kind of started kind of social media on Facebook and all this stuff. And it was like, create a fake Facebook. And it just kind of was all this stuff. But he got to the point where him and this girl were together talking on the phone. And this dude was like, going to get drafted, going to the NFL, like, again, super stud, played at Notre Dame, and it was like a 2-year relationship, and it all blew up when it turned out it was this dude that was in love with him, and like, man, ended up like, and it ruined him because people thought he was in on it, and all, like, all these different things, and it, like, it was almost sad because that one person, because they hid behind the screen instead of actually forming a relationship, almost ruined this guy's life. Like, yeah, millions and millions of dollars this guy lost because instead of the first round of getting drafted, he went to the third round. Now, granted, he had a great career in the NFL, but it developed trust issues. He had all these different things, and he's doing great now. But it's like, man, that's crazy. But yeah, I like how you put it. Like, it's a way of you're just forming a relationship to go beyond, you know, into a face-to-face relationship, right? So I even you just saying that and even talking to you via Instagram, it's kind of like, if I'm ever up in your parts, I feel like I could be like, yo, dude, I'm here, and we'll go eat cheese at a cheese shop together. You know what I mean? Like,
dude, whatever. I literally, so, I, the other week, I got a text from Iman Cervantes, and that dude plays for Andy Grammer, and then,
yeah,
you know, we're texting back and forth. He's hilarious. E-Man's hilarious. And he's like, oh, we're on tour with, you know, John Wicks is here, who plays with Fitz and the Tantrums, because Fitz is on tour with us right now.
Yeah, I know John.
So yeah, he's like, yo, we should get John in on the hang. So I drove like an hour and a half one way down to Aurora, Illinois, southwest of Chicago.
Yep.
And I brought pizzas from Lou Malnati's. And I know you're a Midwest boy, so you might know Lou's.
Oh no, I know all everything you're saying. I'm like, yeah, my fat kid in me is, oh, like, yeah, oh, dude. Lou Malnati's, yeah.
So I got a couple pies from Lou's, went over to the venue, which was this beautiful outdoor venue along a river, and they got me back by the tour buses. There was this big grassy knoll, and we just sat up there for like 2-3 hours, just like, nice, telling stories, laughing, and eating pizza, and just having a heck of a time, dude. And that's like, that all came from Instagram. That's how I met John.
Yeah,
that's how I met E-Man. John's been a client of mine, so it's, man, it just goes to show that, like, that should be the outcome that you go for, because that is a core memory for me now. It's just that night of hanging.
That's cool. Did you work with John when he did his, like, drum coffee, when he was doing stuff like that? Is that how you worked together with him?
No, he hit me up to do, he was trying to figure out a little bit more about the audio video stuff that I do, you know, for creating content for Instagram, yeah, economizing that process, which is something I've done a lot of work on, and then social media optimization stuff too. So
that's cool.
Again, just to get back to the skills you gain from doing social media, right, you know, there's something you can make some buku bucks doing right there, is right, teaching other people how to do this stuff. And it's such an honor to get a call from a guy like that, who's played drums on Bruno Mars tunes and CeeLo Green tunes, and he's been in Fitz and the Tantrums for a decade and a half, right, played on, you know, however many hits with them. It's like, man, for that dude to want to ask me questions, like,
right,
incredible. Just crazy, dude. Crazy.
That's awesome. Very cool. So yeah, you, on top of all of the stuff that we've talked about, you also teach. So you're teaching local, you do face-to-face lessons, online lessons, all that stuff. What is your favorite thing to kind of sit down with the student? Oh, I mean, obviously you do the social media thing and you kind of do that, but like, what's your favorite thing to do is you sit down in the kit and say, today we're going to learn this. It could be rudiments. It could be a song or a style. What is your like go-to, like, I don't feel good today. I don't feel like teaching. This is what we're going to do kind of thing.
My thing is more the coaching side of it. Mm-hmm. I love dreaming with my students and my clients and then figuring out, okay, here's the end goal. You know, I want to be whatever. I want to be a touring drummer. I want to make money doing remote recordings. I want to grow an Instagram. I want to build a brand. Figure out that end goal and then to figure out the steps, yeah, the little steps to get there with these people, understanding their skills, you know, and building that into the equation, and to get that done over, you know, an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours with a person, and to see them just light up because now they have a path.
Sure.
I never get sick of that feeling, knowing that I'm leaving someone with a roadmap to create success and happiness and fulfillment in their life. That's just, man, that never gets old.
And so there's definitely got to be one or two that you're like, here's your path. This is how it's going to be. And you're excited. And they're like, oh my gosh, that's the longest road I've ever seen. This is going to take years of studying. And they're like, there's got to be those too.
There's an old saying that goes something like, you know, you're an overnight success after about 10 or 20 years.
Oh yeah.
And I love to reiterate that with people. Cause dude, I've been playing music since I was 8. I've been drumming since I was 15. I'm 32 and my Instagram account really only started to, and it's not big. You know, I've only got I'm just under 40,000 followers.
Humble brag. Humble brag. No, I'm just kidding.
but there are so many big drummers that have 100, 200, 500,000 followers on Instagram.
Right.
You know, and I'm not saying I'm not, you know, I am so fortunate to have the audience and the followers and the community that I do. But that really only blew up starting right after the pandemic.
Yeah.
So it's only been a couple years. I was sitting right around 10,000 followers for the longest time until the beginning of 2020. And then I blew up to about 22,000. And then finally earlier this year, I hit 30,000. And then I've had a few ridiculous videos just in the past 3 weeks. I've netted 5,000 new followers in the last 3-4 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, so I might hit 40K by the end of the year, which would be cool, but it's like, yeah, you know, this, even again, it still took 2 years to double the followers.
Right.
And it took freaking 5 or 6 to get that first 10K, which was a trudge. So again, it's just to say there's a lot of hard work that goes into, yeah, to building this.
You know,
and you got to love it. You got to find a way to love it. Otherwise, you ain't going to do it.
Yeah, exactly. It's talking to so many different drummers when I did the first, I guess, 15 episodes. I mean, there was people that I had no idea. Like, talking to, like, Scott Pellegrim, which was huge for me. It was like, because I was a big fan of his, and I just randomly reached out on social media, and he was like, yeah, let's do it. And then turns out, I mean, I knew he lived in Michigan, but he lives in my brother-in-law's town, and he was like, do you know, I mean, does your brother-in-law ever go fishing on the Boardman? And I go, the Boardman River is in my brother-in-law's backyard. And he was like, hook me up with your brother-in-law. I need a place to fish. And it was just like, you know, getting that relationship built and then like telling him and sharing war stories back and forth. He was like, you don't, like, no one gets it. It's all the hard work that you do have to put in and continually put in. And there's drummers out there that either get it so quickly and success so quickly and they can't maintain it. And it's like that with every world, the touring world where I'm from. It's like, I mean, mm-hmm, I'm 42 and I started at 10 and I had a huge slump in my life. And it was like, I didn't get signed until my 30s and I already had kids. And like this, all this started way later for me. Right. So it's kind of that weird, that hard work I had to put in hours and hours and hours of just practicing on myself and my craft and songs that I was writing and making it better. I mean, I had a 3-hour rehearsal today for a show that I'm doing on Saturday. It's kind of like it's a constant thing that you have to feed yourself to in your brain to allow it to be free. You know what I mean? I feel it in a good way there. It's like, and that's with everything, not just drums, mainly drums, you know, as the focus that we're talking on. But like when you're doing writing, like if you are going and going to be an English teacher, you got to be smart. There's going to be a kid that's going to be better than you teaching English in your high school English class. And you're going to be like, what the heck? So you always have to be on it, right? It's like, yeah,
dude.
There's got to be something like that. Going back and looking at your Instagram, because like you said, this is kind of your primary focus right now is Instagram. You put on there on your little bio thing, it says drummer, which we've covered, writer, which we've covered, and then it says and more. I want to know what the and more is from your mouth. Like, what is that? What's that focus? What's the and more going to be?
The and more lately is just designing drums and selling drums.
Yeah.
You know, it's and this is where community gets involved again.
Sure.
Because, you know, Paul, who is this Honest Abe instrument co dude, Paul reached out to me. I designed his drum. So the first couple drums, we collaborated on a heck of a lot more. And now I've got a pile of drums in my basement from him. So we've got these drums, and now it's like, okay, what are we going to do with them? I guess we got to sell them. So now I call on my friends with retail shops.
Right.
Hey, can I put some drums in your shop? And they say, yeah, we can do that. and then people start looking at the drums and hitting the drums. And then because I have this following on Instagram, I've sold some of those drums because of that.
Yeah.
You know, people, what's really nice is that people do trust me. You know, there's a real sense of trust for someone to pull the trigger on a $900 product, a $1,000 product, because
right.
they know that I've tried to think out every possible little thing on it so that when they get that product, they know it's going to be good on day one, and they know it's going to be good on a day one, you know, 1,000.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's the more is having this community, knowing who I can rely on, and then having the skills to really build something.
Yeah.
You know, design a drum, market a drum, sell a drum, and support the drummer using the drum.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah, I'm excited to hear more different creations that you've come with. Like you say, you have a stack of drums in your basement. Now I'm like, ooh, I want to hear it. So that's going to be so. Post more videos, please. No.
Yeah, dude, more to come.
Yeah, cool. And then I wanted to mention too, how long ago was it? You did a whole bunch of drumless tracks. You produced that yourself, right?
Yeah. So the first two volumes, I played almost every instrument on, or I would use one sample and then build a track around it. Volumes 3 through 8 are all sample based. So I'm the one who goes digging through the crates, finding you know, samples that feel good for drummers. And then I compile them, put them on a Bandcamp for free. You know, people pay whatever they want.
Right.
And, you know, that's another part of this, too. That's really the way I look at the drumless tracks for me is, A, it's a way to give back, because if you don't have any money, you can still use these things to make videos. A lot of teachers give them to their students as something to practice along to that's much less boring than a metronome.
Yes.
You know, the other part of this is that it's also like a tip jar. You know, if you like me making silly videos and screaming, you know, ripping my vocal cords apart when I'm dressed like a grandma eating toffee, then, you know, you can go to this band camp and there are people who donate $20, $50, $100 per volume.
Wow.
And that is, as a now current public servant who is not making corporate dollars, and as someone who is chronically ill forever, who has to have really expensive out-of-pocket medications that insurance will not cover to keep me alive, I am really thankful for those folks who buy those tracks, man. It makes a big difference in my life for sure.
Yeah. And you can find those, obviously, if people are listening, you can find those on the website, on your, like, go to your link or anywhere, LinkedIn, Instagram, you can do it, and it all goes to your, like, what is that, Linktree or whatever?
Yep, the Linktree that I have in my Instagram has every single link that you could ever want in there.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, yeah, man, I mean, I'm running out of questions, which is great because you're answering them.
That's
like,
good.
I'm like crossing things out because you're answering them before I ask them, which is awesome. But so, okay, there's two more I have. One of them is kind of fun. The other one is a little bit more gear nerd, which I know you're all about. You said you didn't have any endorsements. You may be pinning one. I wish I was like 2 weeks later and you were like, guess what, everybody? And you could tell me, but I get it. You can't yet. Don't wait till the ink, ink's got to dry before you can say I'm with so-and-so. But if you have, again, you have a stack of drums in your basement, whether it's the ones that you've designed, with Honest Abe, or if it's, you know, all these old vintage ones. I know you had the North was on loan or whatever, but what is your go-to if today, right now, anyone in the world, if Steve Jordan got sick and they were like, the Rolling Stones were like, we need you to come play this one show. Just come, like, bring whatever gear you want, whatever. What would it be? I want everything, cymbals, hardware, pedal. I want it all. What's your favorite? What's like, you can go down and go, I need this, I need this, I need this. I'm going to go play this show and that's it. What gear is that going to be for you?
So, okay. So I'm going to bring my Honest Abe steel kit, 2012-14 downbeat sizes. So it's traditional depths. With the kick is going to have Evans EQ4 frosted batter. It's going to have one of my cool resonant heads that are hand-painted by Megan down in Texas. The toms are going to have Evans Onyx batters and G1-coated resonant heads.
Okay.
I'm going to bring my trash pile snare, I call it, which is it's another Honest Abe product. It's a 14x7 aluminum Paul has a family metal shop that's been there for like 3-4 generations. Mm-hmm. And he was going through, he just was looking in the scrap bin one day, and there was just one piece of aluminum just big enough to make a 14x7 snare. And so that's my trash heap snare.
Nice.
And it is amazing. It's it sounds just like an LM402 Ludwig, like the bottom snare, but with more meat, just a smidge more air. It is just awesome.
Cool.
It like modernizes that classic tone. I would have a UV2 on the top, 42 strand wires and a snare side head on the bottom. I would use DW Ultralight, 6000 Ultralight straight stance from a cymbals, which would be 20 and 22 inch Zildjian K Constantinople medium thin lows.
Okay.
I love those because you can get a good crash sound, a good ride sound, a good bell. I would use a DW 9000 two-leg hi-hat stand because I rock my stand a lot, and I do not want that 6000 flailing around.
Yeah.
So I'd use a nice, big, sturdy hi-hat stand, and on those I would use 15-inch K-Custom Special Dry Hats by Zildjian, which I can, with those cymbals, the medium-thin low K-Cons, and then the 15 Special Dries, I can pull off any gig with that. If you want me to do a hardcore show, I can do that. You want me to do a jazz show, I can do that. You want me to do the Stones gig, I can do that. That's the beautiful thing about those three cymbals right there. The same thing with the drums. I tend to opt for 2012-14 seems to be my sweet spot because as long as, like on my classic Maples, I had to get the bearing edges just right. But when I did, my Ludwig Classic Maples, the 2012-14 suddenly sounded like a 22-13-16.
Yeah.
But the pitch range is there, so depending on my head selection and the way that I tune, I can get that thing, you know, like Art Blakey, Max Roach, super boppy, you know, and you know, big and boisterous at a higher pitch.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's, those are the sizes. And then a pedal, dude.
Yeah.
Everybody wants these high-tech frickin' pedals. DW 6000
really?
Will kick the crap, which is it's basically like the old Camco pedal.
Yeah.
Single chain. No, it's got the wires instead of a solid bottom on the pedal.
Mm-hmm.
And they're awesome. And Yamaha makes a version that's even cheaper. You can find them for like $40 used. And if you can find that pedal, it's worth $40 all day long. That thing kicks. Just get the spring tension right and put a good beater on it, and you're done.
Nice.
So, and then sticks.
Right.
Okay, sticks. I was playing for a long time the Vic Firth SD2 Boleros. Love those.
Okay.
And I also like the 5/8 double glaze just because I have drier hands. But the SD2 Boleros, what I like about that is it's a thick maple stick,
yeah,
with a nice articulate small tip on it and a short taper. And what I like, I found they're the ProMark 2B long rebounds, and they're maple.
Okay.
It's something like rebound reflex. They're basically a long 2B with a round tip, short taper. And so it's basically the same thing as that SD2, but you get a little extra length on it.
Okay.
And what I found about the SD or the SD2, the Vic Firths, is they tend to ride up a little bit just because they're so short and I need to get that extra reach.
Right.
Don't have to worry about that with the Pro Marks. And I can still have all my fingers on there so that when I need to do fast stuff, I'm ready to go. So those have been a really wonderful, wonderful stick lately. I always recommend people to play thicker maple sticks,
yeah,
just to see what it feels like, because for me, I get the power I want out of a standard hickory stick, but because I have that extra width to the stick, it's so much more comfortable to articulate and get speed. It's a big Todd Zuckerman thing. Todd Zuckerman also abides by that, so if you play his signature Pro Marks, you're going to feel that right away.
Right.
Thick maple sticks. So yeah, right, I think we covered all the bases. I'm gonna need a gallon of ice water, and then I'm good to go, baby.
Yeah, what's the rider say? Right, you need like 60 brown M&Ms.
Trey Cool, dude. Trey Cool. When I saw Green Day at Wrigley Field, I was really fortunate. A buddy of mine, his band was opening, so I got to hang out at Wrigley all day, and the riser for Trey's set had like two portable air conditioning units pumping super cold air.
What?
On to Trey. And I was like, yeah, if I ever make it, I want a freaking pair of air conditioners.
Heck yeah.
Cooling down my butt the whole set.
Yes. have you seen The Throne? Darren King like was like their go-to guy, and he was advertised like the Air Throne or whatever. It's supposed to be a cooled seat. I was like stoked on it because I'm a bigger dude, so I'm like, I just sweat looking at my drums sometimes, and I'm like, all right, that's going to be awesome, right? Like, I get my butt cooled, and like, I got that in my car where it's like everyone, I always blast it, so the back sweat and the swass, like it happens, it's real, right? So I'm like, oh man, this is going to be awesome for a throw, and then it was like starting at $9.99, I was like, wait a minute, no, like, I don't know if I can do that, but
Someone else mentioned that a buddy of mine, Gabe, he played drums for Owl City for a while, and he's a big gear nerd like me.
Yeah.
And he mentioned that at one point to me. I'd never heard of that throne. He's got a bad back. Gabe has a bad back, so he likes the head spinal align,
yes,
or the old Carmichael's, someone whose name shall not be named anymore. I forget what the name of that brand is, but I know Darren King was like, he was like their dude.
Right. It didn't, it took off. I don't know, but it didn't. I mean,
I don't think they're making them. I don't think it ever worked. Yeah,
I would love to try
one of those.
I mean,
but I'm sure it's like Porter and Davies. Porter and Davies is the company that built like the Pearl bumper,
right,
or whatever, thumper,
right,
right into the, you know, so it's like, it serves a purpose. I know so many pros who are using those Porter and Davies, because if you have in-ears for your mids and highs, it's nice to feel that with the Porter and Davies as you're playing. It's a very slight thing. I can't afford it, but I'll tell you, if I was on a bus and I was salaried, you know I'd have one,
dude,
too.
I'll tell you what. Yeah, right? No joke. So I did a backline show one time, and I sat on it, and I was pumped, because my friend Lou has one. He's one of their endorsers, whatever. And he was like, oh, it's awesome. You got to feel it, whatever. And I'm like, okay, this will be fine. I must have cranked it too high. The whole show, it felt like I was farting, like the whole time, because it was just going like, and I'm sitting there like,
oh no,
this is not comfortable. It's like shaking my guts, and I'm trying. I sing and play, so I'm sitting there like trying not to go like. It just felt like, you know, I'm getting hit in the chest, and like whole body's resonating, and I'm trying to sing in tune. So no Porter Davies for me, of course, unless they call, and I'm like, of course, you know. But yeah, I'm like the old school. Give me the round. I got a pork pie here in the studio, or give me. I bought the fat guy Yamaha one, where it's got four legs and it doesn't move. And I was like, I'll take that one.
That's so. I actually have my computer on this right now. As I have there's two different versions. I have the DW Airlift, the 9000. They make a tractor, but they make a giant circle too.
Yeah.
Most comfy throne, and you can find them used for like 120, 150 bucks all day long. And I have two of them just because I never want to have to buy another one. They're awesome.
Exactly. Yeah, those are great thrones. All right, so the last question I have for you. You've posted a lot of different things where in the Air Tonight Phil, the famous Phil Collins In the Air Tonight Phil, you're putting it on all kinds of different songs. Has there ever been a song that you're like, this is going to be awesome, and it just doesn't work?
That's a really good question. And I know there have been like at least a dozen songs, because I had people just write in their suggestions.
Yeah.
I probably got 250, 300 different suggestions and would just run through them, you know, one after another after another. And I know there were songs where it was just like, I can't make this work. And I wish.
You got to put that out. You got to put out like this one didn't work. Like almost like a blooper reel. Like these don't work for these songs. I think that'd be hilarious.
Anyway. I think that'll be a good project for the end of the year. I like that idea.
There you go. I think, in my mind, I was like going back and looking at a bunch of different ones. And I was like, you need to do like more rap songs. It'd be really funny to hear like DMX growling and screaming while you're doing, you know, like the classic 80s Phil Collins Phil. That's my suggestion to you.
Whatever. I did it, dude. I did it over a D'Angelo song off of Voodoo. I think I did
off of
Chicken Grease, I think.
Yeah. No, it's perfect. Like meshing like the different worlds is like, that's like, that'd be the funniest thing ever. Like I was thinking of it one last night. I was like, Brian McKnight Back at One. Because it's like a slow, sexy jam. But do that fill over that. That would be hilarious. Anyway, so keep doing that. I personally love those. That's you can't get better. That's the fill. You know what I mean? All drummers need that fill. And, you know, having that, that's timeless. It's going to live on. So, like, just that content alone, you could turn into that guy that just does that. And that would be like, oh, great.
Yeah.
Dude, I appreciate you spending the time with me today. It's been great getting to know you quickly and doing all this stuff. And like I said, you've been on so many different podcasts. And it's awesome. And that's the first question I asked you was, why is it so important? And I think you answered it, and it makes a lot of sense, but it's very much, you know, I'm not here to compete or do whatever. And like, you know, hearing some of the podcasts with you over the years, it's like, you know, it's a lot of the same questions, a lot of the, you know, I didn't want you just spitting out the same stuff every time. Now, granted, there's something to be said with that, because then you're reaching a broader audience. If there's five extra listeners, then they become fans of you from one podcast. That's great. But with me, it was kind of like, oh man, like I'm like in the drum world, like all my little drum buddies listen to this and do whatever. So it's more of, I wanted to get the different side of things, like why we talked about the job and all this other stuff. So hopefully I didn't like, you know, you weren't like, I never want to talk to this guy again, you know, but
I've had that experience before. This was not it. This was awesome, dude. And I think the questions were great. I hope your homies get a kick out of this and the other listeners and your mom.
Yes.
Mom, if you're listening, if you want some good, I got good lemon bar recipes. I got a good snickerdoodle recipe. Okay. You let me know. I'm gonna hook it up, Mom.
Now we're talking. See, now when I come up here, I'm gonna, because my mom is still in Michigan, so we're gonna have to like meet in Chicago and have like a bake off or something like that. That's gonna be.
I would love that, dude. Yeah, let's get that on the books.
That'd be perfect. Awesome. Well, dude, thank you so much. Is there anything you want to plug? Anything coming up that, again, it's gonna be a couple weeks before this has come out, but like, anything you want to plug or even your website, just you want to run down the list of everything you're doing, that way people can find it quickly.
Yeah, so if anybody wants to, you know, reach out, I work with all sorts of drummers, drum retailers, drum distributors, and drum manufacturers, doing all sorts of stuff. You can find more info about my consulting work at timbaltes.com. That's T-I-M-B as in boy, A-L-T-E-S.com. Or I'm at Timbo from Keno, K-E-N-O, on Instagram, TikTok, and just about anywhere else you can find me. Drop a line and let's talk about cookies or drums. Nice. Either way, I'm cool.
Nice. All right, I want to give a shout out to Tim Baltes for coming on and doing my podcast. Again, this is Chris Phillips, Boom Chuck, a drummer's podcast. You can find me at Boom Chuck on Instagram or Facebook. You can find Tim at Timbo from Kino on Instagram or on TikTok, like he said earlier. All the music and things that you've heard were either posts that he's done or off of his drumless tracks. I'm going to leave you today with a post that I thought was amazing because, number one, it shows Tim's technique, it shows Tim's passion, it shows Tim's love for music, and it's hilarious. So, ladies and gentlemen, Tim Baltus, aka Timbo from Kino. Thanks for listening.